Well, I thought about that for a little while. I thought a little longer and it made me smile. You're telling me something, man, that I already knew. 'Cause you can try for fortune, you can try for fame, but the winner is the one who enjoys the game. It ain't the things that you got, it's the things that you go through. And you may already be a winner, you may have already won the prize, you may already be the lucky one. You might never realize you may already have what everybody wants to have come true. You may already be a winner, a lucky, lucky you. Ah, so many people wasting their time counting sheep, trying to sleep that American sleep, wishing they could dream a little piece of that American dream. If they could only open up their eyes and see the best things in life are practically free, and the rich and the famous ain't half as happy as they seem. And you may already be a winner, you may have already won the prize, you may already be the lucky one. Why, I can see it in your eyes. You may already have what everybody wants to have come true. You may already be a winner, lucky, lucky you. Lucky, lucky you. Lucky, lucky you. Lucky, lucky you. Lucky, lucky.
Joel Mavis here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Did you get the other musical instrument starting with the letter K? We had kazoo. There's a couple others. Huh. Mark says if you lived in Philly or eastern Pennsylvania, you had these as a treat with the lunch you took to school. A candy cake, a tasty cake, candy cake, K-A-N-D-Y, K-A-K-E-S. Excellent. Thanks, Mark. That's not one I knew. It's funny. I was thinking about prepackaged cakes, and Nichols Bakery used to make them here in Pittsburgh. And I remember on my paper route frequently getting this Nichols Bakery cake all the time. I loved going to the United Dairy Farm, preceded by Harry's Pharmacy to get one of those. Also, the little itty-bitty pies, apple pies, raisin pies, those kinds of things were always great, too. 412-200-5975. Hi, who's this?
Barbara.
Hey, Barbara, how are you?
I'm well, and I hope you and Ricky are doing wonderful.
We're doing extremely well. Everything seems to be okay. I'm recovering from pneumonia, of all things.
Oh. Goodness.
But,
Larry.
You know, it's making me feel better.
Did you have the walking pneumonia or the kind where you have to take tons of antibiotics?
I did have to take many antibiotics. Well, two different antibiotics that were big pills, but the doctors did a good job. But I mostly had to just sleep and rest a lot. But I feel better. You know, I feel a little bit
wonderful.
Recalibrated. So what did you have musical instruments to add, or what did you...
Yes, I came up with kalimba and kettle drum.
Excellent. Mary Jean also had kettle drum and kalimba. And there's another keyboard type instrument. I think the name is German. It's K-L.
Oh, goodness.
I may be wrong about German.
Clavichord? My clavichord?
Yes.
Is that it? It is okay?
Yes.
I wasn't sure.
I was thinking of clavichord or clavier. C-L-A-V-I-E-R. I think I'm it is German. My goodness, look at me. I should have quit.
You know, there is a fantastic place you should visit. Franklin, PA. It's called Gemensi Music Something. They have the largest collection of organ, keyboards, and nostalgia, music, movie stars. It's the wildest place, and it's great. Defense, capital D-E, capital B-E-N-C-E.
And this is in Franklin.
PA. And I went there just to go to that, and it's quite impressive. They have three floors, gigantic.
I will look for that.
You and Ricky will love that experience.
Well, it's good to hear from you. Thanks so much for checking in.
Too.
Take care.
I miss you guys.
You too.
That's
bye-bye. That's Barb calling, and I think we answered all of our puzzles. I'm checking. I think I gave type of fuel, and I didn't answer that one. We were looking for kerosene. Kerosene. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUZ FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio.
Everybody wants my baby boy.
That is music from a group called the Asylum Street Spankers. In just a few moments, you're going to meet Mia Clemens, who's here. Mia is heading into ninth grade at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School. She has a whole entourage with her. Can the entourage hear us okay? Yes, they can. They're out in the main studio. Part of the entourage is here in the studio with us. We'll say hello to Mia in just a moment. I can't wait for you to meet her. I think you'll enjoy hearing her perspective and getting a chance just to learn more about her.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Without any further ado, let's introduce you to Mia, who just has this pleasant aura about her. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm glad that you are here. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I don't know if you know this, but my name is Mia. I'm going to be a freshman at Lincoln Park, where I'm a writing and publishing major. I also do tennis, and I really enjoy reading, like especially poets like Sylvia Plath, Audre Lorde, and Carol Ann Duffy.
And what community do you live in?
I'm from Farrell, so that's kind of like around, if you've heard of like Sharon, Hermitage area.
Yeah, that's quite a drive to come in, because Lincoln Park is in Baden, right?
Midland. Close to Baden.
But that's a bit of a drive every day. Is this your first year at Lincoln Park?
This is my second year. I went last year, and this is my first year in high school. So I'm super excited.
Oh, I'll bet. How did you find the school is a choice for you, is a place that fits you well?
I think, like, since I was younger, I've always had, like, a passion for, like, arts and writing. And so a lot of people were, like to my mother when I was younger, like, oh, there's this art school near here. Like, you should, like, get Mia to go to it when she's older or something.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, you have an entourage here.
Yeah.
Who's out in the main studio in our youth media center out there?
I have my mom there, and then I have my two best friends, Jocelyn and Caroline, and then I have my lovely other best friend in here, Abby.
Hi, Abby. Abby, do you want to say hi since you're in here?
Hi.
Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
Is there anybody else you'd like to acknowledge,
whether
they're here or not?
My teachers who got me this amazing opportunity. Mr. Leroy and Miss West and everyone here at Saturday Light Brigade is giving me this opportunity to be here. I'm so grateful for it.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm curious when you discovered that you liked to write.
It's always kind of been something like embedded in me from a young age. Like, my mom's a lawyer, so she's had to like write a lot, you know? And I think it started with, like, me really liking poetry because my mom introduced me to, like, really prolific and incredible, like, poets when I was really young. So I think that, like, always having a spot in my brain and, like, seeing how much just writing can change the world, like, I was like, I've always wanted to do something that, like, changes the world, you know? I feel like everyone wants to do that. But I was like, I feel like writing would be such a cool way to be able to do that.
I think that's a really good way of changing the world. I like how you expressed that writing has been embedded, kind of it's just a natural part of you as opposed to just something you turn to. It's not, you are a writer as opposed to being a person who likes to write.
Yeah, I like how that sounds. I like that. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I took from that. What else do you like to do? You mentioned tennis.
Yes, I play tennis on my team with Abby here. I love it so much. It's so fun. Second singles, so that is exciting. We have our first game on Tuesday. I read a lot, which I think is kind of something that all writers do. But I like to cook, which is something that a lot of people don't know.
Do you have any specialties?
I like doing pasta. I don't know why. Like carbs are my best friend. Like, I will do anything that has, like, carbs and cheese. Like, those are my specialties.
Carbs are good for energy.
Right?
They'll give you a lot of energy. Well, I'm really glad that you're here. There's a lot of things. Well, and by the way, Mia's going to share a poem in a moment. You mentioned publishing as part of your discipline.
Yes.
Publishing means a lot of things to different people. What does it mean to you? I know that's maybe an odd question.
No, I like it. I think it's really cool. To me, publishing is kind of like feeling like that the piece of work that you've created is something so beautiful and prolific that you want to share it with the world. And it's something that you know can, like, help someone, you know? I feel like especially writing, publishing writing should be something that you feel like can be taken for the greater good. Like, that someone can read this and either be like, this inspires me to do something, or this is helping me through something, you know?
That's a really great way of putting it. So some things that you write don't mature enough or reach the point where you want to let it go to be
exactly
published, I would imagine. But others do. Have you published some works already?
I have not published anything, but I am in the process of, like, digging through these, like, binders of writing that I have to find stuff that I like the best and the stuff that I think that will be able to, like, help people or make someone to... I like writing stuff, and, like, if I would publish it, I want to make people think. I want to make people see something different, like see the world different, you know?
Well, I can't wait to hear what you brought to share. I want to talk more, too. Are you ready to share what you brought?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Excellent. Are you going to read the entire work?
Yes.
Excellent.
It's a bit long, so... probably put on your seatbelts or strap in. But I'm so excited to share.
Well, whenever you're ready, please just go right ahead. And make sure you tell us the name, too.
All right. This is Glass. This poem is not art. It is raw. It is the toy that you forgot about. It is the clothes that you have outgrown, the clothes that live on a clearance rack. This is the forgotten, the leftovers, the peas you push to the edge of your plate. There is no metaphor. There is nothing to hide. These words were written in my pain, my tears, my anguish. I read this because I need you to hear me. This piece is therapy. These are the words that I've cried out silently. My teardrops stain this page. I read this piece because it's my debt. I read this for the ones who cannot read it with me. So this is it. This is all of me. This is Glass. I want you to erase anything you thought you knew about the crash. Remove it from your memories because the media, the helicopters, is the cleansed version. Blemishes removed for the viewer's comfort so you can sleep soundly. In an instant, everything you know has been ripped from you. The protective bubble has been popped, and the facade of beauty washes away, revealing a wasteland of flesh. A smell of rust, blood, and tears engulfs you and steals your breath. And for a moment, you contemplate letting it take you. It'd be easier, no doubt, because the moment you'd have to open your eyes, it'd be real. The fear would be real. The horror would be real. And death, my dearest companion, would steal someone else instead of you. I open my eyes, and the world has turned upside down. There is a smell of smoke. There is hurried yelling and choked sobs. There is a stillness, though, a mark I've realized over the years, a signature of death hurriedly scribed on the walls since, as you know, death never rests. When I'd wake, I refused to look at myself in the mirror because all I saw through the glass was a person who had stolen someone else's daughter. If I had sat just 2 seats in front of me, she'd still be here. And I wonder how she'd feel now. Confused, maybe? A guilty relief bubbling in her chest. Grieving terribly for a girl she never knew. Mind swirling with the could-have-beens. I think about her often. How things would be different if I walked up and said hello. How in a millisecond, her name had created a permanent home in my mind. When I stepped off of the bus, the entire world seemed foreign, as if I was an astronaut who had just finished orbit and was about to land on the moon. Walking slowly, as if to drink up this new environment like a vanilla milkshake on a hot summer's day. Strangers, all of us, and for a second we were still in horrifying silence. Not a tear fell from anyone's cheek, the only feeling of air. Suffocating, silencing air. We stood together in a silent realization of what had just happened. I remember looking at everyone, seeing how broken, how terrified, and how vulnerable they looked. Their eyes were wide, their bodies were shaking, and seeing that, I felt a need to protect them, to love them. I hugged every person there. I wiped their tears. I whispered words of comfort that we both knew were lies. I combed glass out of hair. I rocked them and told them to breathe. And then I could breathe. The minutes felt like hours, and it seemed like my entire life had slowed down so I could truly feel everything in this moment. The one thing that I'll never forget is the people. I hugged more people that day than I did in a lifetime. Calloused hands, perfumed hair, strangers rocking me back and forth as if I was theirs. The people seemed to go on for miles, cars lined up, in silent solidarity of the tragedy that took place. Mothers crying out in horror, seeing their child in my face. We were a circus. Come one, come all. Watch the children fall on their knees and beg for forgiveness for a crime they didn't commit. An atrocious scene of children with bloodied knees and bruised hearts, with battered minds and wide eyes. I called my mother, breath shaky, eyes fighting the urge to close. What do you even say? I wondered. What can I say to even begin? I breathed out and said, I don't know if I'm dead. I said, the bus crashed, and I think the driver is dead. My voice broke at the confession. When I was still on the bus, I looked at him, and I recalled the emptiness and the stillness, the emptiness that I feel always, the stillness I saw in a hospital bed as I prayed to a merciful God to save my loved one. All we wanted to do was go home. Why couldn't we have just gone home? The beauty and the heartbreak of death. People tell you to be relieved, to be happy. They're in a place with no pain. They can live freely. But what if that place was with me? I could have created a paradise. They could have been happy with me. What about my pain? Human nature is a selfish one, and if everything happens for a reason, then why must I suffer through it? Why must grief be so harrowing, so hollowing, it tears at you until you are nothing but a void? A glass with all of its contents empty. How can you ever be full again, you wonder? Life takes so much from me. It has taken more than I have. There is nothing left in this body, this suffocating vessel that I call home. I spoke to what felt like millions of people. The same recycled words, the same shaking hands, the same bloodied feet. I walk on a graveyard that stretches until the end of time. One day you'll step on me too and you won't even notice. The days that followed were a blur. I cried until my body dried up. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I watched shows of people smiling and laughing, and I found it aggravating. How can anyone smile? How can anyone even breathe in this place? How can you enjoy life when there are others that don't even have it? I looked at myself in the mirror and wondered why. What set me apart from the two deceased? What made me worthy of this beautiful and yet guilty gift that I own? And I realized that I felt so deeply that I had caused the accident. And I realize now that I've done that my entire life. Death comes so suddenly, there's no way to even pinpoint when a person will leave you. I value logic, and it's not logical that a person just disappears. One day they're here, and the next they aren't. I want reason. I want something to be angry at. I want a perpetrator, and for all of these years, I've chosen myself. I thought that if I told my aunt I loved her more, she wouldn't have overdosed. I thought that if I told more of the doctors, then my uncle would have been saved. I thought that if I sat just 2 seats in front of me, a mother would be able to embrace her daughter again. It's easier to be angry with yourself than to face the unknown. Life is cruel, but in pain, you can create beauty. In suffering, there is calmness. If you are broken, that gives you the opportunity to glue yourself back together. I can pick up the pieces of shattered glass sprawled around me, and instead of letting it cut me, I can piece it back together and make something beautiful. A piece of glass from every heartbreak, from every triumph that I've ever faced, and I find myself. A picture of vulnerability, of grace, of survival. I don't consider myself a brave person. I think that life is the greatest gift anyone can have, and my job right now is to make my life enough. I live for Lindsay, I live for Talita, I live for Malloy, I live for Briley, and most importantly, I live for myself, because shattered was once whole. Thank you.
That was Mia Clemens, and if you don't mind my saying so, it was back in November of 2021. I remember the accident that you wrote about. At first I thought you were writing fiction, and then the more I listened, I said, wait a minute, I remember this. And the bus driver, part of me doesn't want to reveal the details because your poem should stand on its own.
Don't mind it.
But I think it's important. This was a case of a bus that you were on crashing with a tractor trailer, and the bus driver lost her life, and the student 2 seats in front of you,
yes,
also. And what was that student's name?
Briley Walker.
Yeah, oh, here's her picture from an article. They also died, and then quite a few injuries as well. What an experience. I can't imagine what that must have been like for you. And as you share what you wrote about it, is it a bit like reliving it?
That's I feel like a lot of people ask me that. Like, it's definitely hard to read, because in a way it's kind of like I'm going through the same feelings, but it's different, because I'm in control of this. I get to write, and I get to get it out, and I get to say the words that I've never gotten to say before, and I just get to tell the truth.
I like how you wove your aunt into it,
yeah,
as well, and also the names of students. What a beautiful piece.
Thank you so much.
That was really just wonderfully done. You mentioned earlier about how writing gives you a platform for changing the world. Any ideas about what you would like to change if you could achieve changes exactly as you would envision them?
There's a long list. But
we have time.
I think, first of all, I want to just truly make sure that everyone in America and in the world are truly equal. you know, because it's one thing to say that, and it's another to have action behind it, and it's another thing to enforce it, you know? Everyone should have the bare minimum, like somewhere to sleep, somewhere to have food, somewhere to have education. I think that's just beyond the bare minimum that people should have. My mind is blanking.
Well, that's a large place to start and an important place to start. And if more people recognize how vital that is,
of course,
maybe we'll get there. You're really a remarkable person. Is there anything else you want to say or add? Your poem, I'm sure, is still working its way through people's minds as they reflect on it. You really, just a beautiful job describing your witness. The glass is such a nice metaphor throughout it, too.
Thank you so much.
But anything else you'd like to add or say that I didn't give you a chance to?
One thing that I know that I'm thinking about is I don't want this to be forgotten. And I was going through this year, and after it happened, it felt like that it was this big secret. And it felt like that it was something that people were ashamed of. And it felt like there was something wrong with me for being upset and for not being able to feel like myself, because it has taken me so long to just be able to live life, you know? But I don't want this to be forgotten. I want people to make steps for this to never happen again, because easily Briley Walker could be sitting here instead of me, and easily this could have happened to someone else. And I don't want this to be forgotten, and I don't want people to treat it like it's a secret, because it's not.
That's a very good summation. I think some people would cope by putting this completely out of their mind, or, okay, I've processed this, let's move on.
Yeah.
But your preference is that it's part of you and that it will always be part of you. Your relationship with it might change over time as you change, but it will always be there as part of your history.
I view it as something like almost this chair beside me. I see it like sitting here, like beside me, like not on top of me, not like suffocating me, but like with me. And it's not painful. It's kind of just like serene for the first time in my life. And because I used to feel so ashamed about it and so like upset with it. And at this point, I view it as something that like that happened. Like, it's not, I didn't make that up. It's not fiction. It happened, and it has changed me as a person, and I will always remember it, but it doesn't suffocate me anymore. It's something that I can sit beside and that I can just be with, but not have it overcome me.
That's a really important attitude to have, and I appreciate your honesty sharing all of this morning. Will you come back sometime? I hope so.
I would love to.
Mia Clemens is who you just heard, a rising ninth grader at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Didn't ever want to slow you down. I was there when you learned to use your wings, and I saw you leave the ground. The time I spent in your sweet arms was the best time that I've known. And maybe the reason I'm here at all was to see you care. Don't you know I still remember how I once I was someone new, but you were meant for something better. It doesn't matter anymore what you think of me. I'm just proud to be part of your history. You were growing up so fast. Sometimes you can lose so much when you try to make it last. I always knew you'd do great things. I didn't ever want to slow you down. I was there when you learned to use your wings, and I saw you leave the ground. You know I still remember how once I was someone to you, but you were meant for something better. It doesn't matter anymore what you think of me. I'm just proud to be part of your history. Doesn't matter anymore that you set me free. I'm just proud to be part of your history.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that last segment with Mia Clemens. There's another one coming up in a moment. You're going to get a chance to hear from a student a little bit older than Mia. Mia had three close friends that came with her along with her mom. They were just taking some photos, and it's just a powerful work that she shared. A couple quick program notes that I'd like to share with you. First, we are just, can I say blown away? Would that be okay? By the generosity of the Mac Miller Fund of the Pittsburgh Foundation, we're honored to have received a generous grant from the Mac Miller Fund of the Pittsburgh Foundation in support of our work with youth expression. Established by the family of the acclaimed, world-respected musician Mac Miller following his death in 2018, the fund's mission is to carry on his artistic and creative legacy, primarily by supporting programs that help youth from underserved communities recognize their full potential. Thank you to the Mac Miller Fund of the Pittsburgh Foundation. Also, a quick note that our solar concert series winds up this Thursday, August 25th at 12:15. Devilish Mary, the solar edition, presented by SLB in collaboration with the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. The show will be on the lawn at Nova Place on Pittsburgh's north side. Join us this Thursday, August 25th at 12:15. Finally, we have some tours scheduled for you to see our facility. I'll give you the dates a little bit later this hour so you can make a note of them if you care to. We have Prerna Chekengel with us, who is a South Fayette student going into 11th grade, I believe. Full disclosure, Prerna has been working with us as part of our media corps, and I'm so glad you're able to be with us here this morning. Tell me a little more about yourself, what you like to do, and your interests.
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad to be here, too. It's been great. I love coming down to the studio, and it's a great family here, so always love coming here.
What have you been working on with SLB?
Yeah, so I'm an intern at Radcast, and I work on interviewing assets around Pittsburgh, and I'm also part of the Youth Council now, so that's exciting. We're part of a group that's trying to change how, like, education is and how to plan events for the better.
I'm so happy that you're here and part of it, and I wanted you to explain it rather than my doing it. Thank you. Now, more about you. Have you been at South Fayette Schools your entire school life? Or?
I would say so. I started here in third grade, and now I'm in 11th grade, so that's a good bit of my life.
Absolutely. What do you like to do?
I love playing the piano. I am an Indian classical dancer, and I love voicing, of course. I love voicing out on opinions and my opinions, and that's why I'm a TEDx speaker as well.
And we're going to talk, and you'll share some excerpts from some of the TEDx talks you've done. Tell me about Indian dancing. It's been years, but I used to MC portions of the Pittsburgh Folk Festival.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've seen some different dance troupes. Are you still active with that?
I was active till the end of the summer. I took a little break just right now. I've been super busy. But what I do mostly comes from, it's a dance style called Bharatanatyam. And it's very classical and it's very ancient. And it originates from a city or state called Tamil Nadu, India. And it's a very ancient dance form and it's beautiful.
Yeah, I was always struck by it, just how incredible it was to watch and some of the precision. Was there a particular group that you danced with?
Yeah, the Nandinik Dance Troupe.
It's really, you've got me thinking back to that. It's been a while since I've had a chance to see things. Well, TEDx, how did you get involved? Have you always liked being in front of audiences and speaking? When I was in high school, even though I was on the radio, the idea of getting up on stage in front of an audience was really frightening to me. It was one thing to be here behind a microphone. It was another thing to be on stage. Were you already comfortable with doing that?
I would say it's definitely frightening for sure. But once, if you have a message to say, I think it's just the matter of fact of getting over that and speaking with confidence. After, I think the butterflies are there. I wouldn't deny that. But after like the first few sentences, you get into the zone and you're there. And it's surreal. It's a surreal moment.
And you're probably always going to have them, I think. Because
yeah.
Now, I mean, at least speaking for myself, I am much more comfortable speaking in front of large groups. But there's always a bit of excitement.
I mean, it's always going to be there, that nervous energy. I mean, you are talking to a new group every time, so it's going to be there. I think it's meant to be there. That's what pushes you forward. So
now, I know you've done at least two talks,
mm-hmm.
One called Your Difference is Your Power,
yep.
And the other one called Pondering Over Feminism.
Mm-hmm.
We should have time to talk about both.
Okay.
Do you want to pick one to start?
Sure. So my first one was Pondering Over Feminism, and I talked about the idea of feminism and how it's so ever-changing. You know, what feminism was like 50 years ago was different than it was 100 years ago and was different than it is now. So I think just that overall change is very important to understand. And to understand how you can change yourself to fit into that change is really important. And I always like to say that feminism isn't preferring one gender over the other. It's the idea of creating a harmonic life to live in together. So that's what I like to say.
I really appreciate your bringing to light how feminism has changed over the years, because for somebody like me and my wife and maybe some folks in your family, things that we associate with feminism aren't necessarily accurate in the third wave or beyond
yeah.
in feminism too. One of the most salient examples I remember is we did a project with the Girls Math and Science Partnership that was all about connecting 11 to 14-year-old girls with scientists who happen mm-hmm. to be women about their careers. And as we worked on the art, we were very deliberate to make the art kind of gender-free.
Yeah.
And we were told, no, you should you know, add some elements of femininity to it. You shouldn't erase the idea that the girls and women that are profiled in this series are women. That's not the point. And it really, that was a very teachable moment mm-hmm. for me because I just didn't expect to get that advice from the woman I was working with at the time.
Yeah, I think femininity is more of an idea as opposed to like a movement, I would say. like the idea of feminism is really important to understand to change the community that we all live in. And I think that's what it is.
Do you want to share a bit from the talk you gave called Pondering Over Feminism? I don't want to put you on the spot, but
I can definitely try. Okay.
As long as you're comfortable doing it. This is Prerna Chakangal, who is about to begin her junior year at South Fayette High School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So the word feminism needs to become more used and popular. But men are becoming conscious while using this word and do not want to identify as a feminist. Men aside, many women don't want to associate with this word because of the simple belief that it comes across aggressive and anti-men, unattractive even. The reason feminism makes people uncomfortable is because it is misunderstood, which is why we all need to redefine it. When we look at history, it seems like the world is man-made. But when we delve deeper, we see exceptions and understand the impact that females had to change the world. Before India gained its independence, Jhansi Ki Rani, a female warrior, led a whole army of men and trained women how to fight back the British. She even fought her most famous battle with her son on her back. And today, she is the pride of India for her courage. Her story shows that women are courageous to face challenges. So there is no doubt that women are capable of facing obstacles. Her honesty and ability to become straightforward helped her overcome these challenges. Masculinity tends to be defined in a very confined form. There are almost set rules. I've seen mothers tell young boys to not cry or be afraid or anything that's considered quote-unquote feminine-like. And because of these expectations, and the more we do this, we leave them with the egos that burst with the slightest pressure applied. If there was true equality, we wouldn't have the men in our society feeling this. When a son or daughter grows up in a male-dominating home, he or she learns that way of life and does not understand the discrimination. I find so many female leaders are afraid to say, "Yes, I am a feminist," because they fear backlash from their male counterparts. Women systematically underestimate their own beliefs. Ban Ki-moon, former Secretary General of the UN, said it best when he said, "Achieving gender equality requires the engagement of women and men, girls and boys. It's everyone's responsibility." And remember, feminism means something different to everyone. There is an ever-changing, all-encompassing definition that is repeatedly being changed in waves. And that's the true beauty of feminism.
Beautifully delivered. Do you remember the first time that you encountered feminism or just different attitudes toward genders? Or if not the first time, the first significant time, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, I think these ideas are sometimes even children don't understand what it is. I think we were in school and there have been comments that have been passed, especially when we're working in group projects. I think, you know, I talk about how women systematically underestimate their own beliefs. I think girls tend to like take a step back when we're working in a mixed group of girls and boys, and I think boys tend to take the lead. It's definitely better now as we're becoming older, and the girls are definitely doing better. But yeah,
where do you think that comes from?
I think that comes from I think just the older generations just oppressing the girls and not allowing them to be who they are. And allowing them to, find what their true identity is and allowing them to, I think it's almost like when you have a son and a daughter, it's like you tell the son to be risky and dangerous, but you tell the daughter to be careful. And I think that's where that comes from.
Some of it, I think, can be inadvertent too. Or people can have biases without realizing.
Yeah, I think the unconscious bias comes into play as well. I think it's been a long history, and that history is still holding people down, and they don't realize it, and it's unconscious. So that's what we're trying to change.
That's some really good thinking on your part. Now, you wrote another one called Your Difference is Your Power. And by the way, we're speaking with Prerna Chakangal, who is in 11th grade at South Fayette High School. And we're talking about some TEDx talks she's done. These are available on YouTube if you want to watch them. And we've linked to them. Now, Your Difference is Your Power. I know that began with you saying hello in 10 different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on to talk about people's differences. Mm-hmm. Can you share a bit about that?
Yeah, so I'll talk about it, then I'll share a snippet later. But that basically comes from, you know, me realizing that, you know, I have had issues like fitting in with other people and really like blending in. And as a child, I always felt like my culture and my traditions wasn't appreciated like it truly deserved. And because of this, I would tend to shy away from who I was and kind of conceal my true identity. And, you know, as I grew up, I realized that that was all too exhausting. And I realized that my culture was just a part of who I am. And that's what makes me different. And I think that's what my mission is all about. And that's where it started. And like you said, my TEDx talk title is Your Difference is Your Power. Because my goal and my mission is to allow children to embrace their differences and not have them go through what I had to go through. And so that's where this idea originated from. And my whole idea is about unity and inclusion. And that is why I started my TEDx talk with 10 different languages, to show that we're all trying to greet each other. We're all saying hello. And even though it's in a different language, it still means the same thing. And I think that's where that idea came from. So
I really like the word you chose to describe how exhausting it is to assimilate or suppress things you would otherwise be doing, or to try to change from your natural self. It is exhausting.
Yeah.
And also unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Exhausting is the perfect word to describe that. Do you want to share some of what you wrote?
Yeah, so I can share my TEDx talk. I'll share how I started off with a bunch of languages and what my hook was. So, greetings, buenos dias, bonjour, guten tag, bom dia, insama, konnichiwa, zai hui, salam alaikum, and namaste. These are just 10 of the 7,000 languages that are spoken in the world today. As a 16-year-old, there are countless things that I've learned, but one major one, that even with all these 7,000 languages, there are more things that unite each one of us than separate us. We all arrive to this world as a human, and we all have the right to be ourselves. So if we come with a mindset of love and objectivity, then we will finally see people for who they truly are. Not their labels, exterior appearances, or first impressions. People with disabilities, immigrants, boys, girls, the LGBTQ, black, white, brown, Arabs, Asians, Africans, Native Americans, Hispanics. We all have one thing in common: our humanity, our respect, and our empathy toward others. So let's all be humanitarian by understanding the differences that you may have with someone. And after understanding these differences, you may even find out that not all of us are so different in our ways. Thank you.
It must be exciting when you deliver these on a TEDx stage. and the reactions you must get. When you've done these, have the audiences mostly been peers or have they been adults?
No, they've been adults. So they're conducted at events and people usually advertise these events. So it's everyone in that local area comes it comes to see. And it's really exciting because after the event, there's like a meet, kind of like a meet and greet. And they like tell you about what they thought about your talk. And especially for my second one, everybody loved it. And it was great to see that. And I was just like awestruck by the way everyone was like getting to know me and saying hi and things like that.
What do you have planned for your junior year coming up?
Yeah, so in the TEDx talk, I actually mentioned talking about I need a one of my mission encompasses like going to schools and talking about this to students. And actually, last year I just took a class called World Cultures, and it was a great class. Loved it. If anyone is watching and they have the opportunity to take this class, I would say please take it. It's a wonderful class because it allows you to see what the world is like, and that is important to see, you know, where you are as a country and where the rest of the world is. But I feel like that class was, it was great, but I feel like it was too late. That's why my ideas encompass, you know, starting that a little bit early, maybe not as much in depth, you know, maybe not memorizing all the years and dates, but, you know, at least talking about it. They don't have to get tested on it. So
I remember being very frustrated at taking a class like that. I think I was in 10th grade, and all I could think about was, why wasn't I taught this in second grade or third grade, or at least aspects of it?
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember in elementary school learning about people from different eras and ages.
Yeah.
And what I would have really liked most was to learn about people sitting next to me or across from me. And that came much later.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good idea to put forward. Have you thought about what you might like to do after you graduate?
Yeah. So I think like talking to people and helping people out has always been a passion of mine. And one of the careers that you do get a chance to do that is the medical field. So I'm truly passionate about it. And I mean, whatever career I go into, whatever field I go into, wherever I graduate from, I think a strong passion of mine would definitely be speaking in front of audiences, standing up for what's right and trying to change the world.
That's terrific. We just have another minute or two. I'm really glad you came here. I'm happy about your service on our youth council, brand new for us to have one, and I'm glad you're part of that and also the work you've been doing as a radcaster. Anything else you'd like to say that I didn't give you space to say? It could be hellos or just anything else you want to mention.
I would just like to say thank you to those who watched my TEDx talk. I'm so glad to say that I am at 70K plus views right now.
That's great.
And I just say I would have never thought it would have branched out that much, but I would also like to believe that this is just the beginning, and there is so much more to see and so much more to explore.
Yeah, and I think the passion and depth of those who are viewing, your passion and depth matter equally, if not more so, than the raw number of viewers, too, if people are really taking in everything. Because the way you've developed and presented those videos, there's a lot that's going into them.
Yeah.
So, well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Again, it's our pleasure. That's Prerna Chakangal. Going into 11th grade at South Fayette High School, look for her TEDx talks, Pondering Over Feminism and Your Difference is Your Power. We've linked to them, but you'll also be able to find them under those names on YouTube and the TEDx channel of YouTube. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
broadcasting live. Is there any other way from historic Allegheny Square, where Dan Getkin and the 12-6 are coming up shortly, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green? This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU PFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including WMCK.FM McKeesport, Loudspeaker 1, Fort Collins, Colorado, KRDP Indy Community Radio, and slbradio.org/radio.
When I've had a dark cloud hanging over me a while, well, it's time for that to go. When every day's just like the last and I'm counting up the miles, I don't wanna do it anymore. I've been walking, I've been climbing, been working way too long. I need a change in my direction, good times come. I've been ready, I've been waiting, been worried I might be wrong. Now it's here, I feel just fine, good times come. I feel a good time coming on. Well, I don't mind my job, and I don't mind a heavy load. Yeah, we all got those bills to pay. When the shine starts getting dull, when it all turns just a little bit old, it's then you got to get away and dance the night away. I've been walking, I've been climbing, been working away too long. I need a change in my direction, good times come. I've been ready, I've been waiting, been worried I might be wrong. Now it's here, I feel just fine, good times come. I feel a good time coming on. Been climbing, been working away too long. I need a change in my direction, good times come. I've been ready, I've been waiting, been worried I might be wrong. Now it's here, I feel just fine, good times come. Yeah, good times come. Oh, good times come. I feel a good time coming on.